Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 11, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, If You Can't Beat Them, Fear Them. The terror attack at a restaurant in downtown Tel Aviv last Thursday evening killed 3 civilians and injured 14 others. But terror attacks do much more than kill innocent people. They terrorize entire populations. The recent spate of terrorist attacks in Israel inundated emotional support call centers with people suffering from anxiety. The atmosphere is so tense that centers remain flooded with calls even on days when there are no attacks. So far, the terror seems to be winning. But it is not because terrorists are good at what they do, it is because we are not doing what we should. If we cannot, or will not deal with terror and with terrorists the way such people should be dealt with, we should at least offer emotional help at every turn. Either we fight the terrorists, or we fight the consequences of terror, or both. At the moment, I see us doing neither. We need to understand that Palestinians have no desire to cohabit with us, let alone live in peace with us. They want us out of here, and they will go to any length to get what they want. We should not be so naive as to think that we can live like all other nations. We are not like other nations, and the rest of the nations will painfully remind us, every time we forget that. Our calling, which we have spurned for 2,000 years, is to unite among us, and set an example of unity above all the differences, divisions, disputes, and hatred. Our calling is not to unite with other nations, but among ourselves. If we forget this and offer them our hand in peace, they bite it to prove to us that we have nothing to expect from them. Those who disrupt us from uniting among ourselves should be expelled from the country. However, if we try to hit back at those who attack us, without working on our unity, we will not be able to repel our attackers. On the contrary, they will grow stronger, more brazen, and more determined, while we will grow weaker and more indecisive until we are driven out of Israel by fear. In fact, this process is already underway in Israel. There is only one way to resolve the situation positively: to think and act confidently on the military level and on the spiritual level. On the military level, we must kill those who come to kill us, plain and simple. On the spiritual level, we must work with all our might to strengthen our unity. We will earn the world's approval only when we approve of our being here for the sake of forging an unbreakable union. When we present the world with such a resilient bond between us, the nations will support our presence here, and we will find peace and security, not only for us, but also for all our Arab neighbors. Does the Creator have aspiration for power? Question: Is it possible to use power in a beneficial way, in a positive direction? Answer: A person is capable of this only if one is corrected in one's intentions and understands that the main thing is to do good. Question: Does the Creator, the supreme force of nature, have a desire for power? After all, he controls his creations? Answer: The Creator has no such question. He is the power. He is only a force that controls everything, including everything within himself. There is no such possibility in him to strive for power. He is the power itself. And we have such a thirst, such a desire, because we don't have it. The Creator, so to say, moved and created an empty space in which he does not reveal himself. In fact, he is in it, but does not reveal himself. This is the space we are in. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, March 22, 2022. Could Einstein develop a unified field theory? Comment: It is known that Einstein developed the unified field theory and later burned it because he was afraid that this knowledge would be used by unworthy ones. My response: I tried to explore this a bit and even went to burn for this reason. I do not think that Einstein had the ability to develop this theory, because the only possible way to come to a serious conclusion about the existence of a unified field and describe it is from above. From above means through the study of Kabbalah. It is impossible otherwise, because there are a great number of such problems that cannot be described in our world. This is the same as in quantum physics. Suddenly we encounter information in corpuscular and wave theories that the same body can be in two places at the same time. That is, here we see borderline phenomena. Science has yet to reveal in the future many things that it will not be able to work with. After all, in order to correctly see these phenomena, a person himself must rise to their level, meaning above time, motion, speed, and space. This is possible only when one acquires spiritual forces. For this one needs the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore, despite the fact that Einstein tried to develop a unified field theory, and now many scientists are trying, they will be able to achieve this only after they come to us to study. I am sure of it. I think this is the next stage. Comment. Some people say that if a person were given the knowledge that Kabbalah speaks about, many could use it to harm. My response, no. Never. The phenomena that they would have revealed does not exist on the material level. You cannot attach any instruments to them, you cannot do anything with them in any way, because you pass them only through yourself, inside your soul, inside your qualities. What does soul mean? These are my qualities that are above time, place, and motion. From Cab TV's Close Up, Beyond the Last Line, May 3, 2010. Rise above to lines. Christians and Muslims reflect two basic natural properties. Christians symbolize the left line, egoism, Muslims symbolize the right, egoistic altruism. And there is no third, middle line in nature. Therefore, those who say that Jews have no place in the world at all are right. This question will be especially acute now, because humanity is finally beginning to realize that it exists in the world, but what world is it? Based on what? What is the purpose? For what? Right now, even sharper guesses will arise that the secret of existence, for the sake of what question mark, is in the middle line. This middle line, which should lead us to the goal where we can unravel the riddle of the universe, our origin, and the future state of all mankind, is again found belonging to these same Jews. Question: what does it mean that life can exist only in the middle line? Answer: the middle line should consist of two opposite properties, Muslim and Christian, in the correct combination with each other. But this is not just a combination, I take it and mixed it in some proportion. You need to rise above both lines and create a completely new property based on them. Both, egoism, left side, and altruism, right side, must be used correctly, only in ascent. It is necessary to add the middle line to them and rise above egoism and egoistic altruism. This is not an easy decision. It is impossible to guess its existence. It is revealed in Kabbalah. Since it is very difficult to master, it was gradually passed down through many generations to our time. Today we begin to reveal it, to explain it. It takes a lot more effort to bring it closer to the masses. From Cab TV's Close Up. The Formula of the Creator, July 18, 2010. Love will cover all our crimes. Question. Victor asks, Dear Michael Leitman. You say, love will cover all our crimes. Don't you see that it's impossible? Answer. I see that, generally, in the end, it is possible. It is possible. That is how it will all happen, although it will go through us, with a rake. This egoism will be torn off from us, with a rake, leaving torn flesh, wounds. But a little altruism will appear through them. That is how we will gradually get rid of it. It is not good. But we have no other way. Otherwise, we will not appreciate the power of egoism, the power of altruism, and the relationship between them. It is precisely on the contradiction and on the connection between them that love arises, which is the final stage of the revelation of the Creator's plan. Question: you say that there is hatred and that we must cover it with love, and they must exist together, hatred and love. Isn't that the most incomprehensible thing? Answer: it is not clear, because when you hate, you shake, you do not know how to burst. When love bursts you, you spread out to the whole world, you do not know where to go. These two parts should join, complement each other, and then you will feel the perfection of creation. Exactly in this way. Now we do not feel either part. When they begin to unfold in us, then we will feel it. Comment: this is elevated wisdom. My response: it does not matter, we will have the strength, brains, everything. Question: how can an ordinary person attain this height? Answer: we should start with a little, like all of us. Starting with little, we should just understand, formally studying, that we have no other way out. We, the creatures, are obliged to grow to the level of the Creator, and this can only happen if we climb the steps of the ladder. From small hatred to love, from greater hatred to more love, from the most terrible hatred to the greatest love. We connect them together all the time, step by step, and do not destroy them. You will see that it will be so, and very soon. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 3, 2022. Michael Leitman, on Quora: why is it very difficult to control your mind? Indeed, we often try to take hold of our thoughts, to change or replace them with other thoughts, and the more we try, the more we realize our inability to do so. In order to control our thoughts, we need to understand where they come from. Thoughts are upshots of desire. Initially, a desire surfaces, even if we do not feel it. Afterward, the desire enables the mind to realize it, and it enters our thought. We thus think only in relation to what we desire. The question then becomes: how can we acquire, hold on to, and develop that which we desire, or how can we distance ourselves from what we consider undesirable? We find it futile to control our thoughts, because thoughts, which are secondary to desires, cannot change desires. Our thoughts can only change the size of our desires, by increasing or decreasing them. Likewise, we also cannot replace one thought with another. Therefore, we can only control our thoughts, our mind, by controlling our desires. The question then becomes: how can we change our desires? And the answer to that is, through the kind of social influence that we receive. The values, examples and behaviors that we absorb from our environment influences what we desire, and according to the social influence we choose for ourselves, we accordingly receive a certain direction to our desires. We would thus be wise to choose an environment that leads us to the loftiest of goals, and which influences us with the highest of values. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The right to exist only if we offer the key to happiness to all. Question: in what case do Jews have the right to exist? Answer: only if they declare to the world that they truly have the key to the happiness of humanity, to its normal existence, to reach a perfect state, and offer it to the entire world. If we do this, no matter how ridiculous or absurd it may seem, people will take it seriously. After all, antisemitism toward such a small nation, which consists of an insignificant number of 15 million people out of all of humanity, and the claims against them that they are the cause of all the world's suffering, in principle, is a claim that this nation is special. Nations of the world feel that we are special. Only so far, we are special in the bad sense of the word, because we do not reveal the meaning of life, the possibility of reaching a real, eternal, perfect existence, thus limiting all other nations. We are the cause of their suffering. They are absolutely right in this. Without the middle line, The nations of the world cannot come to the thought of creation. It is impossible. All of us come from ancient Babylon. But only we took this middle line and the rest went on the way of egoistic development. Today we meet. From CabTV's close-up. The formula of the Creator, August 7, 2010. Fill the void with content. According to the design of creation, people constantly play some roles without realizing it. Man automatically follows what nature evokes in him. This has been the case throughout history, and this paradigm is ending today. Today we have to enter a completely different stage of development and begin to move forward realizing, understanding, and engaging in this process. This is where the problem is. By receiving such calls from nature, that is, emptiness, I myself must fill it with content. Why am I doing this, in the name of what? I must reveal all the plans of nature, maybe agree with them, maybe not, but explore them and act accordingly. Today nature requires me to consciously intervene, participate, and partner with it. And then it turns out that I do not know what to do. I have to deal with this somehow. That is why the science of Kabbalah is being revealed now. It explains the program of nature to us, the predetermined flow of all matter, information, and energy in a vast space that we do not understand and do not yet know what it is filled with around us. We have yet to reveal it. From CabTV's close-up. Theater of the Absurd, July 18, 2010.